Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another month of Movie Monthlies. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the month's movie news. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Conor. As usual, genuinely excited to talk about movies these days.
I love movies. And so we
all love movies here.
If you're new here, we used to do this every week. And then we decided, let's just do it once a month. And we stack up all of the best news from that month. Now, look, what that also means is that we do talk about trailers that are like 2 weeks old. But we get to do it all together.
Yeah, and genuinely, Conor, we used to talk about trailers that were 2 weeks old anyway because they used to always drop on a Tuesday.
So it's much no different, really.
It's honestly the same level of content and accuracy you're getting.
So this is, as I said, Movie Monthlies for the month of April. A lot of stuff happened this month. And there's a few stuff, legally stuff, we're not going to touch on. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh dear.
Right.
Who could have predicted it?
I'm going to put my hands up. We're not going to cover that because, Sean, do you have a law degree?
No, not at all. I have a media degree, which is arguably yet less useful.
It's actually less useful than every other degree, and I have the same one.
We have exactly the same degree, don't we?
So what I'm going to say is, if you came here to listen to that, I don't know why you would, but...
How about you go kick rocks for a while?
Imagine me, I'm pulling my shirt. Oh no.
There's a big cane coming from off stage.
But we will be talking about a lot of different trailers. We have three trailers I wanted to talk about.
How many?
There was three
trailers. Three?
Yes.
Three trailers?
Yes, because, so there was actually five, but I cut it down. We're not going to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy snippet that came out due to the fact that the movie is out literally in like 4 days. I don't really want to watch a trailer for a movie that's coming out in the same week.
That's just another thing that I'm like kind of happy that we don't do this week on week now is that I'm going to be genuinely surprised by some things that happen in some movies now.
Yeah. And so, if this is your first episode, we could really enjoy it if you gave us a subscribe, a follow, a like, or whatever podcast platform that you're listening to this on. No pressure. But if it is your second or more time, I will get some people to come around to your house and maybe sort you out if you don't do any of those things.
If it's your fourth time listening, you have to go to the Patreon. I can't stress that enough. That legally has to happen.
Actually, speaking of Patreon, Sean, it's the month of May, and you know what that means?
That means... Your birthday.
We have put out our Patreon movie review from last month, and guys, May 4th is coming up, so you know what always happens every April, is we have released our movie review of everyone's favourite Star Wars movie, Episode 8.
Universally loved Episode 8, mm-hmm. The Last Jedi, The Last mm-hmm. Star Wars.
Yep. So if you want to listen to that review, head on over there. We've got loads of other reviews as well. But Sean, we got to get into it because I'm actually going to start with Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, big news in Star Wars last month.
Sean, I never get to say this phrase. Big good news!
Big good news, good news for Star Wars!
Three new Star Wars movies were announced.
How many?
Three.
Sorry, I'll okay. stop.
What is the deal with the tree?
I don't know.
I say it funny, I'm sorry.
Three.
So after many false starts, Sean, cancelled projects, directors dropping out, directors dropping in, Rian Johnson's trilogy is officially not happening. Tykes is still on, pretty sure.
Weird that that's the one that's sticking around.
Star Wars is finally ready to return to theaters, having announced three new upcoming standalone movies during the opening of Star Wars Celebration that happened a few weeks ago. Sean, how do you feel about this news? I know you love Star Wars. New movies.
I've said in the past, I love most of Star Wars outside of most of the films.
Yeah.
All of the like extended universe stuff is really, really fucking cool and interesting. And then the films, most of them, I think like half of them are maybe kind of good. I don't want to reward just what I felt that the conference was just a bit pandery. Okay.
Oh.
It was more of like, oh, we know you like this. Oh, we know you'll fucking cheer for this, won't you? Here's all these people you like. Come on out, people.
You absolute fucking losers. Here we
dickheads.
Go. You think Kathleen Kennedy's like giving the finger while she's introducing more people?
It's the condescending PowerPoint. And the most, like, it's the bit of the PowerPoint where they show the timeline, they show all the movies that they're going to make.
Yeah.
And then Kathleen Kennedy pushes a button and suddenly it goes into the future as well.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, but like, what have you actually done here? Is it going to be good?
Well, they've done a PowerPoint shot.
Not just anyone can make a PowerPoint, famously.
Not just anybody. Well, I wanted to discuss the three officially announced ideas, films that they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
I want to see your excitement level. I do understand where you're coming from because we've been burned a lot.
So many times.
So many.
By
it's
so
hard.
Many companies.
It's an abusive relationship at this point that I feel like this announcement, everyone's like, that's really good, but I don't want to trust them that they won't go out for a packet of cigarettes next week and leave us.
Exactly, and like at a certain point with like Disney and like Star Wars and all that, we're the product at the end of the day.
So we're going to start with the movie that I think is probably the pretty strongest one. James Mangold is down to direct one of these movies. If anyone doesn't know, James Mangold, director of Logan and the upcoming Indiana Jones movie that is meant to have been good.
Really, though? Spielberg signed off on that and he was like, James Cameron signed off on Terminator Genesis. Nothing means anything from any director.
Fableman's
is pretty good, though.
I mean, if anyone ever understands why don't they say stuff like that, like Cameron's a producer on that movie, or Spielberg's a producer, and if the movie makes money, they make money. So they're hardly going to be like, that's dog shit.
Which is why I'm really confused every time James Gunn is like, man, The Flash is fantastic.
I've heard it's good, right?
But I've also seen clips of it and it looks like shit.
I don't understand what's
happening.
They
do the pandery thing as well. They have Michael Keaton being like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. And I'm like, go fuck yourself, honestly.
So James Mangold, he is coming in to direct a Star Wars movie, and it tells the story of the Force. So his movie will go back to the dawn of the Jedi, a time set tens of thousands of years earlier than anything we've seen so far. But how are they going to fit a Skywalker into that story, Sean? I don't understand.
Yeah, like I guess you could do like the progenitor of the chosen, like the bloodline or something like that. That kind of stuff. There, like expanded universe. It was the this is creative naming. The Jedi Order, Connor, used to be the Jedi Order.
Good.
Now, what's really fucking rad about those is that instead of lightsabers, they basically had giant car batteries hooked up to swords, and that's how they fought.
No way.
It was fucking insane. They're called proto-sabers.
Ooh, and are they called Prime Jedis? I read a lot about Prime or D-Prime Jedi.
Jedi God. Formation of the Order.
And so this is going to be set 25,000 years before the events of A New Hope. And I mean, it also will feature Act 2, which is the place where Luke Skywalker is in Episode 8. It's a
you
whole
mean
thing.
Skellig Michael, Connor.
Sorry, Skellig Michael. That's the only place I know it as. I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's so reductive. Like, in Ireland, like, that's an ancient site of, like, monasteries and stuff like that, that island. But now it's just, that's where they filmed Star Wars.
That's where they did the stars. So it is. So James Mangold coming in to direct this. Sean, how do you feel about a movie that's not based around the Skywalkers 25,000 years before James Mangold directed? Listen to me, Sean. I think this could be good.
I think this could actually be good, is the thing. This is the one I'm, like, really hyped for. Because, again, most of the interesting shit in Star Wars happened before any of the Skywalker stuff, in my opinion. Just give me a movie about Darth Revan. Like, that's all I want in the world. Connor Martin came on and talked about Darth Revan. It was a really, really good character.
He's a cool character. He's been both dark side and light side, and he's real cool.
Yeah, you get a redemption arc in there. It fucking writes itself. Just do it. Also, give me a Darth Bane movie about the start of the Sith. Why not?
But I'm gonna say so. I think this is too far back.
Really?
I wanted, like... I don't want to be one to complain, because we were always like, just do a different time, right?
Yeah.
And now they're like, right, double down, 25,000 years. I was like, well, I was thinking more like 100.
Well, you got, like, as it stands, like, between episode 1 and episode 9, isn't that something, it's like 90 years or something like that?
Yeah.
So, like, they need to just give themselves a bit more of a fucking window to work with. Going back 25,000 years gives them quite a big window to play around with.
I'd even take 1,000. Even just go back 1,000 years and just see what was going on.
Nah, it was exactly the same 1,000 years ago. Nothing changed, you know?
Okay.
They reached a peak.
So we've got Matt Golden. He said that he told Kathleen Kennedy, I wanted to make a kind of Bible movie, a kind of Ten Commandments of Star Wars movie. With about the arrival of the Force.
So it's technically the Force would have always been there, but the first people that learned to tap in to the Force, like in the Warhammer 40,000 universe, it would be the Psykers, is what you're looking.
But here's the thing, though, Sean. Not anyone can use the Force. They did set it up that anyone could use it,
Taught or is it an inherent ability? It's a whole thing. That comes up.
Okay, so out of 10, what's the excitement level? What's the level you're like, I'm looking forward to this, or no?
I'm going to give that one a 7, right?
Okay.
Only for the fact that it opens the door to all of the shit that came before. You know? Like, they're literally going to the beginning. So now we can do all of the cool stuff that happened in between. There's a really cool group. I say cool, they're fucked up. I'd love a horror movie based in the Star Wars universe around a group called the Yuuzhan Vong, which are just basically like raiders and reavers who come from outside of the galaxy. They live in like the dark regions, and they're immune to the Force. They're like disconnected, so Force stuff does not affect them. So the Jedi just have to learn to fight better.
Fuck.
It's class.
That's real good. That sounds good.
Because what you've done is now you have these characters, the Jedi, who are set up as having all of these powers.
Yeah.
You take away the main one.
I mean, it's the one thing you do with all characters of like comic books. Like, oh, this superhero's lost his powers. He better overcome the villain.
Yeah. True, oh, just Thor genius. Dropped his hammer. Is he still good without the hammer? Like, this kind of shit is how you write basic good stories.
Every time we talk about Star Wars and you're like, I read this thing and you come up with the coolest fucking shit I've ever heard. And then I'm like, what the fuck are we watching?
Why are we focusing on this one family the whole time?
You're like, just in your brain, you're just like, do you remember, I read this story 10 years ago about this one random thing. I'm like, holy shit, that would be amazing.
Genuinely. Like, if you scroll through the Star Wars Wikipedia, which again is called Wookiepedia, it's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. If you scroll through that for 15 minutes, you get 10 plots of movies that are better than anything that's come before.
Well, the next movie, Sean, we're hoping for more than a 7 this time. Dave Filoni, he's involved. It's his film will bring together many of the current Disney Plus series. And it will obviously come and it'll focus on the New Republic and close out the interconnected stories told in The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and the other Disney Plus series. So it's basically like a movie that just brings all that together in one go.
Okay, I'm going to say this right here and now.
Yeah.
It's 3. It's a 3 on the scale of excitement. Look, Mandalorian Season 1, great. I watched Season 2 of The Mandalorian, it gets worse. And then Season 3, I watched an episode and didn't like it. Same with Book of Boba Fett. Gave an episode, wasn't a big fan.
Actually, I've heard negative things about Season 3 of The Mandalorian.
It just seems like it's lost what made it special, weirdly enough. Now, Jack Black is in an episode, so that's an automatic 10. However, I think it just kind of lost focus. Apparently, the whole thing about The Mandalorian, that series, the reason they want Grogu is because he has force healing, and the Sith acolytes on Exegol want that power to bring back Palpatine. The whole Mandalorian series exists to give reason to the somehow Palpatine returned line.
So that kind of makes it lose a lot of its luster.
It does, really, when you feel like it's a means to an end.
I love the idea that you base your most popular series off the world's worst line ever written in a film.
And look, obviously I haven't seen all of the series. I haven't seen Andor, which people have told me is excellent.
Apparently that is excellent.
Yeah, so that's one I'll give a go to. That a lot of that looks pretty good and interesting. And again, it's a different story in the Star Wars universe.
Mm.
But I've fallen off from Mandalorian pretty much almost entirely.
But I do understand that they're probably... I mean, there's a lot of popularity there. There's a fan base there.
Oh, 100%.
Bring out that movie, connect it all together. It makes sense from a business point of view. You got a few successful series. Why keep doing them? Let's just put them in one big movie, big blow off.
It also does validate's probably not the right word there, but
it does give value, though.
Yeah, it gives value to the Disney Plus series to be like, no, these are as important as the movies because they play into it.
And you have to watch these and this will make the movies better, all that shit. And then our last movie is going to be one that really shocked me, this news.
Yeah.
Is that Rey will be returning in a third and final Star Wars movie.
How much money do you think they're giving Daisy Ridley for this?
Like, why did she put herself back through this?
It's got to be measured by truckload.
Like, more than trucks.
a car truck.
a truck.
Like, it's insane. Like, for the way that that series... And none of the sequel trilogy, 7, 8, and 9, that's none of the actors' fault involved.
Oh, no, we're literally not blaming it, but we know the shit that they all went through because they were associated with somehow Palpatine returned, and especially Daisy Ridley. I mean, she was the lead character and she wasn't a man, so...
Yeah.
She was, and she had powers, and she was...
And she was good and skilled in those powers.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
The fucking... I'm not even going to say discourse, because it was just people spouting bullshit about, like, the hate that like, woman got is completely undeserved.
Because I assume she's just a nice person.
Yeah, and, like, Rey, like, Like, writing aside, Rey is objectively the most interesting character in Star Wars. Because she's not, up to a point, she was no one.
See, no, look, she is the most interesting when she's nobody, but then she's not. She's the least interesting when she's somebody.
Up until that one point in episode 9, fuck, she's the perfect character.
Well, like, I also understand that people are like, oh, she has a lot of powers, but for me, I'm like, it makes sense if you just even read a second of just like, look, the dark side has all this fucking power, it's got Kylo Ren, there's a big massive void in the light side, and those powers always have to be the same level, that's why she's on that level just immediately, but she doesn't understand how to use any of those powers.
Anakin's a Mary Sue as well. Anakin shouldn't be able to pod race. The only reason a human can pod race is because he's fucking born of the Force.
I hate that phrase so much.
Look. None of those words are in the Bible.
And I'm going to use a phrase, it gives me the ick.
It gives you the ick, doesn't it?
It gives me the ick when somebody says Mary Sue. Those phrases, I'm just, lads, just get outside, like, it's fine.
Just touch grass.
Like, and so yeah, I mean, Daisy Ridley coming back, I'm very surprised that she agreed to it. As you said, must be a shit ton of money. It's set 15 years after the ultimate defeat of the Sith, and she'll be trying to rebuild the new Jedi Order. I think this is kind of the movie everybody kind of wanted with Luke, but very different time back when you could have done that movie in, say, I don't know, the 90s.
You could arguably cast Sebastian Stan as Luke Skywalker. They look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, not like validates, but it gives more weight to Rey as a character that she's not just forgotten about. They're continuing with her. We're going to see how the Jedi Order grows from there. Hopefully better, because Rey's done with the old Jedi. Like, the books are fucking destroyed. And I
also just feel sorry in terms of that character. I mean, it's a fictional character, but just like, it's just written so badly. Just lived out to die in terms of the story itself.
And as well as that, I don't think that there should be, I don't think Ian McDermott should be a Force ghost talking to her the whole time.
I love Ian McDermott, a legend of the game, but you need a different villain.
Yeah. You really do. The conflict in that movie could just be that people don't trust the Jedi because of how historically they've fucked up consistently.
Yeah, like, what's happening in the Jedi when she's trying to rebuild that order? Like, she promised Luke as well that she would rebuild the order, but how is that going? I'm assuming a lot of pushback. As you said, Jedis are the reason why all this fucked up shit happened. Because you got so set in your laurels that you just basically let anything happen. And Ian McDermott came in and took over the fucking place. And then all the Nazis took over and killed everyone for fucking 60 years.
I'm just hoping that they learn the lessons about what didn't work from particularly episode 9. And they're just like, right, we're just going to make a really good Star Wars movie, and it's not going to be designed by committee, and it's not going to be designed to sell the most toys.
None of that's going to happen.
That's every Star Wars movie. That has to happen. That's why it exists as a property. But wouldn't it be nice to have a good film?
What if we just did a cool film? Shall I come up with a random idea from a comic book you read 10 years ago?
Darth Vader goes and visits Padme's grave.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Pretty good. I also, just before we leave Star Wars, because we spent like 20 minutes on it, Sean, odds of John Boyega coming back, how many trucks of money do they have to give that man?
They'll have to, they need to buy him a country, like a good one.
We're talking Pablo Escobar money.
We're talking Greenland, like, for John Boyega to come back.
Boyega's getting Greenland, whether he likes it or not. So we're going to move on to our next piece of news from Star Wars, and it's our first trailer of the week, Sean. It is the trailer, our first teaser trailer that came out a few weeks ago for The Marvels. This is obviously the sequel to Captain Marvel with Brie Larson, and now movies come back. Everyone's been kind of obviously, Marvel at the minute, not doing too great, right?
Not the best, we will say.
Not the best. But can I just say, Sean, I think this is my favourite trailer I've watched in several years.
Really? Really? Yes. Now? Very interesting. I watched this trailer and I caught myself doing it. I'm tempering my expectations as I'm watching the trailer, which is absolutely not what a trailer should be doing.
No, I agree. But also, I mean, like, it's the Beastie Boys. You're going hard.
They know, like, it's set. This movie's going to have a tone, which I think is good. I wonder, will it get, like, the conceit of this is that every time they use their powers, they switch places.
Hmm.
Is that going to be for the whole time, do you think?
I don't think so, because in that big fight scene with the three of them, they're not swapping places.
Right,
they're just using their powers. So I'm assuming at some stage they solve it. I don't know how, but they do. Look, I think this movie, I'm going to say it was the best trailer just because I wasn't expecting anything. And then after watching it, I was like, you know what? I think that could be good. And that's what the trailer's meant to do.
Also, I am delighted to see Kamala Khan again.
Oh my God, right? This trailer doesn't work without that woman in this, right?
Not at all.
I have no interest in this movie other than to see that fucking agent going around just being a legend.
Just being a fucking goofball. Like, and her family are in it as well.
Oh, that was me. That was me sold. Once you got her in it and Kamala Khan's in it and the family's in it and they're all just there, I'm like, I don't literally care what happens with Nick Fury or Carol or Monica, but as long as that family's okay, then we're all good. Because if you've seen the show Miss Marvel,
the family dynamics in that are outstanding.
Yeah, episode 1, episode 2, excellent. Episode 3 and 4, absolutely atrocious. But this isn't including the villain. The characters themselves are really, really good. I just think this movie could be really good. And it's something that I think I needed because I was kind of coming into it going, this could be shit. This could be quite bad. And I was like, I'm pleasantly surprised about everything to do with this, but it also might just be Suicide Squad levels where they play Bohemian Rhapsody in the Suicide Squad trailer and they get you pumped for 2016 Suicide Squad and that movie is not good. And maybe it's just the music choice and it's nothing else.
Yeah, but also like for a movie like this especially, it would have been really easy to just be like, oh, they're in a quantum planet. They're in a planet. It's a green screen planet. But they're actually like in places in this. Like
they're getting credit for being places.
I mean, it looks like there are some sets, you know, is all I'm saying.
Also, the scene with the cat, with Goose the cat, and just like when it eats the fucking people and then Kamala Khan's reaction, fucking amazing.
€100 if you can tell me what the race of that cat is.
Oh, I actually kind of do know it, but I don't know it. Go on, what is it?
It's a Flurkin.
Flurkin, yes! It's a fucking Flurkin. There's several of them in it. There's a load of cats going down the stairs.
Yeah, I feel like they go to like the cat planet, the Flurkin planet in this. It also looks like the power swap thing looks like it affects everyone all at once. Like, it's not just like, oh, Kamala and Captain Marvel are swapping. Photon is swapping as well, Monica Rambeau.
Everyone. Well, no, she doesn't swap when they go visit the family. Kamala Khan uses her powers and only her and Carol swap.
Okay, I thought everyone was swapping all the time. Like a Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer scenario.
No, but, like, do you think this movie will be good is my question, really.
I really want it to be. You know, and I'm like, it's going to get so fucking review bombed, which is really unfair, just because the internet's a terrible place and there's terrible people on it. But
and
I want
don't
it to
like
be
Brie
good.
Larson. But what about Kamala Khan?
But yeah, Kamala Khan's great. Brie Larson is great as well. Like everyone is great except the man who plays Kamala Khan's dad. He's a bad dude, it turns out.
Is he?
But yeah, he's up to some. He's sending some texts.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
What a prick. The character can still be good, but the actor's a dick. but I want this to be good. I will see this in cinemas. just to give it the money to support it. Like it's some fucking indie project and needs my support.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like it's I think it's worth making movies like this and about characters like this.
And women. Also, I'm also ready to accept that this movie might just be the same as all the recent Marvel movies of just kind of bland and a bit shite. But
yeah.
I'm also willing to be like, let's just let it play out because, I mean, we were all excited about Thor Ragnarok. Or not Thor Ragnarok, Thor Love and Thunder. Yeah. Didn't go well.
Did not go well. With this, the idea that... what if this is as good as episodes 1 and 2 of Captain Marvel, Connor? Or of Miss Marvel, sorry.
Oh, because that's...
What if it's that good?
I don't know if it will be. I think episode 1 of Miss Marvel, I think, is the best pilot they've done.
Oh, 100%. It's the best, yeah. I would say, aside from Loki and WandaVision, like... I think Miss Marvel and actually Hawkeye are my favourite Disney Plus shows.
Yeah, but Hawkeye is carried by Florence Pugh and Hailee Steinfeld.
Honestly, yeah. Also, spoilers for Miss Marvel, but she's, and 1, 2, 3, spoilers, she's a mutant, right?
Yes.
Do you think that's going to fucking come up at all?
No.
Okay, fair.
How is she connected to them?
The Bangles, I guess, have... probably the same energy that gave... But
that was all in Shang-Chi? I don't think you need to look Eternals? Too much into it. We're just excited that Kamala Khan is in this. And I feel like people won't know who she is and they might find her annoying, but I think we might find her charming. Maybe our love for that character will blind us to the quality of the movie. Not quite sure, but I think it looks kind of fun.
I really want Iman Vellani to get final say on everything in this script.
Everything. I want her to get an Oscar.
Everything in Marvel.
We've come hard on Barry, Iman Vellani, and who's the other one?
Paul Mescal.
There are three. I think we got two of them are Irish. She's resident. We'll bring her in. She's technically Irish as well, really. Like if you think about it. So Sean, we're going to move on to some terrible news that I really think you're going to like that came out this week. That is Harry Potter series gets 7 season order with She Who Must Not Be Named producing the show.
This is like. I forgot we were going to have to talk about this because in what world, in this climate, with the reception to JK being what it is, how do you think greenlighting 7 seasons of a show is good? Also, those poor kids who are going to be cast as these characters are going to get brutalized online.
Destroyed. Yeah.
It's not fair.
Also, very minor thing, why did they change it from HBO Max to Max?
That's another thing. HBO, at least you had a good, recognisable brand.
HBO Max, you're like, this is quality. Let's take away the thing that people think of quality.
Max sounds like, it sounds like, you know, you have like Rakuten and stuff built into your TV. It's that, what is it? I watched it on Max. What?
it sounds like a dog.
It sounds shady. Like, it sounds like it's an adult film.
I just don't understand that idea. And so when I read that Harry Potter series gets 7 season order with Max, I was like, who the fuck is Max?
Even if you wanted to do fucking Warner Brothers Max or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But
no, Discovery have to be evolved.
Warner Brothers Discovery Max. Yeah, that doesn't work. Keep
That's
it
why they
HBO
got rid of
then.
It. Because they didn't want HBO just getting the name in front of it. It was just Max.
Just make TV, like, there's no benefit to doing that. It's already, like, it has some of the best shows, but it's the worst service.
Yeah, it's not great. But Sean, this isn't about Max and their business ideas. This is about Harry Potter. Now, look, we've had eight movies.
Before you continue, can I just say, someone is blaring, like, dance music outside the window and I can see the waveform picking up the rhythm. So... I'm sorry, I'll do my best to get rid of that.
Why did you start a rave in the middle of the recording?
Oh, it's look, it's, we love Harry Potter that much.
I just
on this
love
show.
A bit of the wizarding world. You know what I mean?
So wait, does this mean that the Fantastic Beasts movie are fully cancelled now?
Oh, they're done. They're dead in the war. We're never going to see them again. So they've started good. Again. God, this is great business, right? You get 3 movies into a 7 movie thing, you get rid of it. Fuck that, yeah. Right? Then
clearly it's not working. They only like the original thing.
And now we've done 8 originals less than maybe 15 years ago. A whole 8 movies. All the actors are still only like 30 because they started when they were 10. That's pretty good. But what we'll do is we'll do 7 more seasons with brand new children who will be constantly compared to the actors who are only 30 now.
It makes no earthly sense. And like I suppose the argument is that they have more time and they're going to adapt more of the book. But like, that sounds... I don't want to watch that dragged out over 10 episodes for 7 to 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Who are you going to get? Because no matter, as you said, no matter who you bring in, those poor children are going to be fucking destroyed.
It is remarkable that all of the people who are in Harry Potter, most of them ended up very well adjusted. Like,
they all
Daniel
seem
Radcliffe
pretty nice.
Should not be as level-headed as he is.
He had a few rough years, but he's a really nice human being, apparently, from everything I've seen.
Right? This is it. Like, it's like Emma Watson works for the fucking UN and stuff like that. Like, it's honestly wild. And like, the kids, first, like, casting a child actor is hard enough. Casting a child actor who then has to go on and act for the next decade and still, like, be a part of that role, be iconic with that role, competing with the person who came before, who is arguably the most iconic version of that character
to ever
exist.
How could you possibly do that? And like, we're just taking the project itself. We're not even talking about your one. But just in terms of the poor cast, bring it in. It's like, you cast a child 10, maybe 11, but like, it's not going to take 7 years. It's going to take longer than 7 years to do 7 series.
It's going to be like, it's going to be 6 months of filming, and then it's going to be like promoed for 6 months, and then it's going to come out over the space of 2 or 3 months. So you're talking a year and a half.
But I'm assuming, though, these are going to be longer because there are going to be a lot of CGI, unless they cut down the budget. Like, I'm thinking it could take a year and a half to do it, like, every season. So then you're reaching a decade. So by the time they're like, because kids, I don't know if you know this, Sean, they grow up real quick.
They do age. They do age between
It's a miracle the original movies, they kind of get away with it.
They do, but even at the end, you're like, okay, these are 20-somethings.
And they were doing back to fucking back. Like, they would film one movie and then just go straight into the next movie while the other one was out in cinemas.
It was a fucking juggernaut. Like, it was ridiculous.
Oh, man. Who do you bring back as Voldemort? How is any of this going to be good? How do you have Voldemort as the enemy for 7 seasons?
It would be as if, right. Like, and also, like, they had the benefit that the books were coming out, so people are still relatively surprised, and it was all still relatively new. Everyone fucking knows what Harry Potter's about now. Mm. And the way that it's going to be is that it will be like the MCU saying, oh, we're going to do an Iron Man TV series, but it's going to completely pretend like Robert Downey Jr. never happened, and this is the new person we're casting as Iron Man. Love him immediately. Like, it's bad enough when they, like, have someone take up the mantle and have it that the original character still existed. This is actively saying, no, this is the version now.
And also, let's just not give that woman any more money.
No, that's another thing. Why? Why support that woman? She's horrendous. She's horrible.
Just leave it. Just leave her alone.
Leave her destitute in a ditch covered in gold.
We're going to move on, Sean. I was actually going to spend longer on our next piece of news, but I don't actually think we have time. We're flying through these. There's a lot of news to get through.
So much to talk about.
Adam Driver, rumoured to be making a deal with Marvel for Fantastic Four, but he's not going to be playing Doctor Doom, which he's meant to be playing. He was born to play. He's going to be playing Reed Richards. What do you think about that?
Was he on our bingo card of people who were
going
to be cast?
He was one of the rumours from like 6 months ago when they were getting a new one every week.
Look, I don't hate it.
Like, but he should be Doom.
He should be Doom. He should absolutely be Doom. And the guy who plays Quaz in Quantumania, he should be Reed Richards. He's in The Good Place as well.
Yes! I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, he should be Reed Richards. He's the best casting for Reed Richards. However, they wasted him on a bit part. But I don't hate Adam Driver in that role. I think he's good enough of an actor and he can play. We've seen him play various, like, he'll do silly, he'll also do really serious, you know?
Yeah. Like, and also he has that edge of dickhead that I think he could pull off that edge of Reed Richards is going to kill us all. He actually doesn't care if we die.
He's got the superiority thing that he can do. Yeah.
And Jodie Comer is still being rumored as to play Sue Storm.
Maybe so, a pretty good match. I mean,
they were in The Last Duel, you know, that Ridley Scott movie.
Oh yeah, that was filmed in fucking Dorky, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they were in The Last Duel together, so it would make sense to bring them both in. They probably have inbuilt chemistry as it is. Also, they're two very talented human beings, so they'd probably make it work. But we don't know any casting right now. I just wanted to let you know he's basically the frontline runner at the minute of our weekly segment that we got rid of because we're now monthly. But he's number one.
Hey, that's until he's not, you know? Remember, like, it was like nearly a year ago. And we were like, oh, there's this upcoming Disney announcement. We're definitely getting Fantastic Four and X-Men casting confirmed.
Yeah, and they just still haven't done anything.
They've done nothing with it. It's ridiculous.
I read a headline today putting the show together, and it was like, have Marvel waited too long to do X-Men and the Fantastic Four? And I was kind of like, well, yeah, they've kind of waited. It's kind of dying. So.
They can't do X-Men until at least 2025, because that's when all the original actors' contracts expire.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, although, like, the contract is that if fucking Professor X appears in a film at the minute, has to be portrayed by James McAvoy.
Patrick Stewart.
If it's a new version.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, if cool. They're making a...
Because Patrick Stewart's neck needs to be snapped. At least there are two.
Gotta keep snapping that man's neck. It's the only way. Michael Fassbender should have been the head of the mutants in Doctor Strange. I think it would have been way better.
Why wasn't he? Why was he not?
Why wasn't he? He would have done it.
Just let him be the worst person, but he's the best.
And then put him on a train.
Put him on a goddamn train. He's bending people's arms. Oh,
it's the best. It's the best.
Sean, I have terrible news that I thought you might like. Live-action remake. I know what you like. Disney's Moana has been announced to be getting a live-action remake.
Forgot we were going to have to talk about this. What? It's not even 10 years old. Like, are you asking me my thoughts on this? Because I think you know them.
Go on.
It's shit. Why is it? This is just stroking The Rock's ego because Black Adam made no fucking money.
I genuinely think The Rock went away. Black Adam, he got fired from Black Adam and it didn't do very well. But maybe in one of his promotional videos, he's like, it did well in Taiwan for a week or two. We had the biggest opening ever in this one city.
Yep.
And fair play. But he went away and he's like, what's my most popular character that we could easily cash in on? And I know we can do Moana. And I'm going to kill this.
But I don't want to watch that, is the thing. Moana's great. Moana's a fun time. The Rock is, I actively dislike him in movies now.
And he's such a nice man, but he needs to stop.
I don't even know if he's that nice. I think it's all an act. I think it's all a calculated act by The Rock.
I think it's a long act, though. He's been doing it for a while.
Like... I think...
No, I know what he is. Here's my opinion. Yeah. I think he's a very nice man. He's a very charismatic man. He's always been very, very charismatic and people have always loved him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's kind of got away with doing the same movie for like 10 years. And everyone was kind of like, every movie, everyone was kind of like, he's doing it again. And then there was always like a little bit, like maybe 10 years ago or 8 years ago, everyone was like, I kind of like you to do a different kind of... And then 5 years, it was like, well, maybe you should do maybe a different... but he's a fucking nice man. And as it got closer, and now in the last year, we've hit boiling point of people being like, this motherfucker's been doing the same thing for 10 years. And his charm no longer works. And what happens when the world's most charismatic man stops making money in all of his movies? He gets confused. And I think right now he's reeling. I think because he's lived his whole life as the most charismatic man in the world, and he can't understand why people don't like him anymore.
Here's my argument, is that I think since his days in WWE, The Rock has just been playing a character the whole time.
Really?
I think he's just been kayfabing it, and he's, even as a movie star, he's just been like, he's had the persona, and then that's all it is. I don't know if that's actually him or not.
I think
he's too hustle focused, Connor.
Yeah, he's actually leaned too far into it, and I think people like when they liked him, that was charming. And yeah, now that they're kind of like, actually, you know what? He's kind. And then when he's kind like, I got $7, I was like, oh, fuck off, man. Fascinating psychological thing to watch.
It really is. It really is. And like, but then you have like Batista on the other side of a wrestler turned actor who just, he's picking really good roles.
True,
he's challenging himself.
I think The Rock is very out there, and I think that worked for him with his charisma. And whereas Batista's under the radar a little bit more, so he'll get away with it for longer, I think. And also he changes it up. But I can understand The Rock's point of view. If I was the world's most charismatic man and I could make $1 billion doing the same movie every year, that's what I would do every year.
100%, but I don't know. Fair enough. Make the same movie. Don't make the same movie.
He wants to go to the jungle.
Yeah, he will go to the jungle in Moana. But, like, it's going to be insufferable, the fucking marketing for this, though.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hey, I'm The Rock. Like, this is, you've seen this, but now it's real. It's all real. It's not animated.
I'm fascinated by the psychological damage that man is going through. He's so confused. He doesn't understand.
He's never been universally loved.
That's exactly my point. So it must be really fascinating, his team being like, we're looking at the numbers here, boss. Yeah. And for the first time ever in the history of your life, it's like 49-51. People are like, well, I'm kind of getting a bit bored of The Rock.
Yeah, I think it's just boredom. And it's like, it's a terrible way to talk about another human being. It's just that I'm just bored of them. Nothing they do is interesting to me.
But once again, I think he is nice. I think you're being harsh with the he's playing a character.
I think he's playing a character. Don't think anyone's that nice.
He does a lot of make a wish. Like, come on, man, he's a nice man.
John Cena does more.
That's true. He's in hot water as well.
Is he? What's he up to?
John Cena's actually more. I think he's even more than The Rock. He's good at vanilla answers in press conferences. Non-stop. I think he's definitely played a character as well.
I think he's definitely a company man. You know,
100%. All day, every day. So we're going to talk about the trailer that everyone's talking about, Sean. Barbie. The Barbie trailer dropped this month.
Fucking
with Margot
stoked,
Robbie. It's got Ryan Gosling. I mean, Sean, this movie, I have written in my notes, bonkers. Makes no sense. Is it a horror movie? Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? I don't know. And that's what kind of fucks me up.
It's Barbie and Ken going to the real world, I guess, is the overall plot. But so can I just say, as a trailer, this is fantastic.
Oh, it's a great trailer. Greta Gerwig's a lunatic.
It's an insane woman. I don't know how she does it. The Ryan Gosling as Ken is perfect. The bit where she, like, this very first shot, she's walking in the shoes, she steps out and her feet are still in the shape of the Barbie legs. When I saw that, I had the same reaction as when I saw Robert Pattinson punch that man in the Batman trailer. I was like, oh, that's Barbie.
Like, what happens when talented human beings, basically, and Greta Gerwig is probably one of the best directors in Hollywood working, writers and directors. Like, what happens when talented people are just like, let's do something so fucking mad that nobody else will be able to even visualize what this movie will be, and let's just do it to 11 and see what fucking happens.
And everyone involved was just like, okay, we're going to do exactly what you say.
Yes, it's absolutely insane. I assume it's going to have like a little bit of the Lego movie vibe where there's a child playing with them.
Maybe that would lend to, like, because they are, there's a bit, it's like, I'm going to sleep over because we're boyfriend girlfriend.
Yeah, and it's like, well, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I also think Gosling is perfect as Ken.
oh my God, he's killing it. It's also adding to the universe of jackets that Ryan Gosling looks good in. Have you seen him on the red carpet last night?
Yeah, like, I've seen the jacket. I don't know how he does it.
He's got, also, I want the shirt that has Greta Gerwig in the Barbie font. I think that's fucking brilliant.
But you won't be able to pull it off like he does.
Not at all, but I'll try. I'll try, Connor.
It's like a candy-coloured, like, it was like just you took LSD and then they just did this movie. And I was like, at the end of this trailer, I was like, I don't know what I was expecting, but that is exactly what I was expecting, but I didn't know I was expecting exactly that.
It's like, yeah, you watch the trailer and it's like, oh, of course that's how you do a Barbie.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly how you would do this movie. I didn't even know. But like, yeah, I think everyone in this is insane. I think if this is their, my new gag, favorite gag is this versus Oppenheimer coming out in the same day.
Can I put the final nail in that coffin for you?
Go for it.
Barbie comes in at a crisp 1 hour 40 minutes.
Oh, this might be the perfect movie.
I think genuinely, for the time it takes you to watch Oppenheimer, you could nearly watch Barbie twice.
You'd probably be able to watch it twice. By the time Nolan is finished, this movie's done twice.
It's going to be... I hope they do some marketing thing with the both of them. Like, it just... Like, they do Oppenheimer, but it's, like, Barbie figures acting out, I am become death, destroyer of worlds.
I just wrote, is it a horror or a comedy or an adventure? What is this?
I think it's mostly adventure.
And no, I think it's a horror. I think it's, like, starts off, like, this is, like, the first 15 minutes. There's no plot in this fucking trailer. And then... after a while, it's going to get turned on its head, like the Harry Styles Florence Pugh thing, where you're like, this whole world is fucked, and it's like a horror thing, but it's not a horror.
Okay, maybe. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, Connor.
See, that's the thing.
Give me nothing else about this movie.
Since the announcement of this movie, by the way, me and you have been so confused as to what it will be, like from 2 years ago. And even now after seeing the trailers, I'm like, I still have no clue what this fucking movie is.
But that's fine. Because now I also want to watch it. Yeah, I've never wanted to see a movie more in my life.
So we're going to move on very quickly. Paddington 3 is happening, just so everyone knows.
Great, he's going to deepest darkest Peru, I hear.
That's locked in. And we are going to finish off Movie Monthlies with another trailer, Sean.
Okay.
Moving on from the Barbie trailer, that is the Blue Beetle trailer that came out this month. For a movie that DC kind of wants you to forget because they're not really doing anything with this world anymore. But at the same time, I'm very interested because I love Blue Beetle as a character. And I was like, this is really left field. Could work. Sean, as someone who doesn't really know Blue Beetle, what did you think of the trailer?
It feels kind of in the middle between like what DC was and what they were moving towards. Like, it's definitely late DCU kind of trailer. There's also a lot in it in terms of like, you basically plot. Get the origin for Blue Beetle this.
I think you had to do that for the origin trailer.
Yeah. Now the effect of the scarab fucking assimilating with Jamie Reyes, horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, terrifying stuff.
But that's what it's meant to be. It takes over his body.
He's a host for it, like. It's genuinely, like, unsettling. We've never seen that before. That's really cool. I'm confused as to how established the Blue Beetle is. Because later on in the trailer, we see him flying around in, like, the Blue Beetle mobile. There's, like, a
big... That's a bit strange, unless they're doing the thing that Ted Kord was around already as the Blue Beetle, and that's where the scarab came from.
That would be really fun.
You would do it is Ted Kord was around for years, he's the previous Blue Beetle, Susan Sarandon's character maybe kills off the previous Blue Beetle, Ted Kord dies, all his stuff is there, he's got the Blue Beetle cave or whatever, and like all the fucking gear is there, the scarab finds Jaime Reyes and basically just attaches it to him, Susan Sarandon's like, that's mine. like, I took it from Ted Cord's house, yeah, and it's now mine. And that's maybe how the mobile comes in and all that stuff. That's how you kind of would do it.
That would make sense, that there's already this existing, like, legacy that he's just kind of picking up.
And maybe he has, like, the comic books of the Blue Beetle, because I like the idea that the family already know that, like, they're involved with... That's like a real horrific scene. When he starts, and then, like, just one of the family members gets fired across the room because he can't control what's going on.
It's horrendous. And you see, like, the fucking extra pincers jump out of his back and shit like that. Like, it's genuinely horrifying.
Like, Blue Beetle is a character that I didn't really know a lot about, but, like, I knew bits from, like, say,
Young Justice, if you wanted to watch that.
I was literally about to bring that up. Is season 2 of Young Justice is, shut up, you've never seen it, leave me alone. the Blue Beetle from Young Justice, if anyone doesn't really understand Blue Beetle or wants to know more, I would recommend season 2 of Young Justice. Jaime Reyes is in it, and he's basically the catalyst for the whole season, because there's multiple Scarabs. And then there's a bad Scarab, and it's like, you should join us. Why are you against us? And he's like, well, I'm human. But the Scarab wants to join the other Scarabs, because it has a mind of its own. So it's like telling them, you should kill humans. Like, go join them. They're obviously the winning side. We should stick together.
That's cool. I like the idea as well that the Scarab protects the owner, but, like, he doesn't have control over it.
No, it's a very tricky situation. So the Scarab can kind of be controlled the more confident he is, but at the start, the Scarab is leading the way. It's very much like, to me, this trailer was like Iron Man and Spider-Man mixed together. Yeah. So it was basically like kill mode in the Spidey suit. That's the Iron Man Spidey suit that's been done up.
It's just that
with Karen all the time.
It's taking over. Like, you're just along for the ride.
Yeah. He goes kill mode all the time, but he doesn't want to do to kill mode. But then you also have, like, the power of, like, Jaime Reyes, he's a different character, so he's into all this other stuff. So anything he can imagine, the suit can come up with.
Yeah, like, he has two swords and he makes them into one big sword. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I don't know, Susan Sarandon as the villain. She's actually playing, Sean, I just found out, I've just done a bit of research, Victoria Cord is who she is playing.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Interesting that character is called Victoria Cord, almost like that might be related to Ted, and that is why she wants the Scarab.
Is it like, what are we thinking, wife? We thinking sister? We thinking what's going on there?
Could be anything.
Felt entitled to the Scarab, but never took it up herself. Always jealous of Ted.
Felt like it's in the family. Ted passes away. It's my Scarab now. I'm going to do some research. I work for the government in a lab of some sort. I'm going to do bad things with this. My brother never used it to its full potential.
Someone steals it, gives it to Jaime, is that his name?
No, Jaime? He goes for a job interview.
Yeah, but then he gets handed it in a burger box, right?
True, yeah. And so it finds him.
Yeah.
And so then he gets out of there. But how does that happen? So, I mean, I didn't actually find that out until Susan Sarandon's character is called Victoria Cord, which makes a lot of sense now.
So Ted Cord definitely existed, and that's where all the Blue Beetle stuff comes from. Cool. I like that.
Yeah. And so that's why you have the ship and everything like that. And then I love the idea, because there's a previous character with that name, with that symbol, he has to live up to that. And he's like, I'm just me. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. And it's like, how am I ever going to be like the old Blue Beetle? And then he has to grow into it. It's a big origin story.
He's going to be really uncertain about himself, and the Scarab's going to be mostly in control. But then once he assesses himself, he's in control again. It's going
to be
great.
I have a question for you. Will this movie come out?
Oh, I really hope so. God, I hope so. Is there a date on it, or is it just coming soon?
It's October, isn't it?
Okay. I mean, Jesus, if Craven is coming out, this will definitely come out, right?
Aquaman is the last one in the run, but Blue Beetle is before Aquaman. So
right.
I'm pretty positive it's like September, October. This is coming out, and then Aquaman is coming out in December, around Christmas, I think.
And then we have a clean slate, buddy.
And then it's done. Then it's finished. The old DCU is done.
It's dead. No one will mourn.
but I want this Blue Beetle to continue on.
Do you think he will? Do you think he'll...
I hope so. Well, it depends on how well the movie does. And I think it probably won't do that well. So they probably won't keep it up, but I think the movie could be good.
They were originally looking at putting this directly to streaming as well, which is fucking
yeah,
wild.
So they moved this from streaming to the cinematic release, yeah.
My God. I mean...
Well, after they cancelled Batgirl.
What if it's $1 billion that it makes, and they're like, fuck, we got to get rid of him.
But you could just keep him on.
I suppose, like, no, like, this seems like it's fairly contained, honestly.
And James Gunn would be smart enough that I'm assuming he probably likes the character of Blue Beetle anyway, because it's like a weird character that isn't one of the mainstream, that's perfect for him.
Yeah.
And like, he would probably like that character to move forward as well. And I think it's better that it's not Ted Kord. I like the idea that there's an old Blue Beetle. Like, it's like a Zorro movie. Like, there's an old character you gotta live up to.
Like, it's passed down, and it's like, there's all this history associated with it. No, I think it'll be... I'm excited about this. It's a DC movie I'm excited to watch, so...
And I'm very excited about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Is that what you're about to say?
Can't wait until they find that kingdom.
Jason Momoa doesn't even want to be there.
No, not anymore. Not these days.
So, Sean, that's it for this week, or this month's Movie Monthlies, I think.
My goodness, that was a packed... That was a chunky little episode.
Packed, so it was.
Look, I mean, 20 minutes of Star Wars talk will do that to a man. But would you like me to take us out, Connor?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this month's episode of Movie Mondays. We will be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, and next month with another edition of Movie Mondays. Big shout out to everyone on Patreon, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link to that in the description. Go listen to the Star Wars episode. It's a spicy one. And shout outs go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Anonymous Comrade Viva La Revolution, David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, Where We're Going, We Don't Need Roads, We Need Cake, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost, Buster, Ed Ball, Lorraine and Connor have swapped the order of their names in order to purposefully bamboozle Sean. Russ, I have finally seen Hayley Williams crush All I Wanted live, so we are all good. Parfit. We didn't see that because the Tree Arena had fucking technical issues.
I remember that. It broke.
It broke, went down for like 5 minutes, and then they had to skip it in the encore because all the confetti was timed to the other song.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. Foul.
Sorry,
stuff.
Russ. We don't hate you, but we do.
But we're envious. thank you as well to Jackson Bruheim. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon. And Kira Lawler. Thanks to everyone who supports us, whether it's on Patreon or in all of the other ways that are linked below. The merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter, @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. But the best way to support the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Neal.
I shall see you all next month, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.